This is Optimus Prime, and you're listening to All Things Transformers.
And welcome to All Things Transformers. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me for the first episode of 2020.
DFG on White.
Yes, from where the heck are you located now?
I'm in the Pacific Northwest. I am in Vancouver, Washington.
You've changed time zones twice.
I would rather be in the Pacific time zone than the Central time zone. My number one is still Eastern, so.
I still like Eastern. It just.
Yeah.
You want to know what's really difficult? I'm casting for another season of the program that I work on, the audio drama series, and they've cast Australian actors for a couple of roles.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very excited for that because, one, you get to hear an Australian accent, and two, the logistics of trying to figure out how to make it work. And I'll tell you this, with scheduling for an audio production series, it's very difficult dealing with amateur actors. And I'm not saying dealing with as in like, oh, I have to suffer through it all.
It's, no. What you're talking about is dealing with them in the sense of the time zone thing.
Yeah, and what's funny is we've had people audition either through the website or want to do them while we're in production. And so, mind you, we're in Mountain Standard Time, which is 2 hours behind Eastern Time. And I'm still partially thinking Eastern time some of the time. and so when I get somebody that's in Central time or Eastern time or Pacific time, I have to like jumble how the schedule works and then keep it straight in my head. The thing I noticed was when you're dealing with casting with Australians, they're actually in the next day.
Yep.
So they're 18 hours ahead of you, which means if you want them on the 4th of February, you're actually getting them on the 5th
of February.
Yeah.
Yep.
So if it's 3 p.m. our time, it's 9 a.m. their time.
Yep.
So keeping that straight, I made myself like a little visual format of this thing so that I could kind of keep it straight. And then I said, just so you know, we're gonna talk in your time zone so that nothing gets confused.
Exactly.
I'm like, I will translate later. I'm pretty sure I have it locked down to what I need. We're going to talk in your time zone, and then this is how it's going to go. And so it's very different, to say the least, to cast that way.
I often wondered about the like the Armada and Energon and all that, the damn space bridges. Like, how the hell do they deal with time zones in Transformers? Like, I know they never dealt with that in G1, but they went to Japan several different times. Kind of thing, and it was, you know, kind of strange watching the old cartoons, just thinking about time zones and how the Transformers would deal with them.
Gojira!
Yeah.
If you've noticed, I can be loud. My family is not here.
Yay!
Yeah. And I don't
Thank
say
you
that...
for telling me this time.
Yes. Yeah. So anyways, they're doing a thing at the church. I'm backlogging a few episodes of Altered Geek at the same time, and in the process I have to also pack some things in the house, and I'm doing a little bit of stuff for work still because I had to miss half the day to sign on my house that I just got, where I'll have a formal studio.
Yay.
Yeah. So
You do realize this is the wrong pod. That's the wrong voice for the wrong podcast, right?
Oh, yes, I know.
Well, get off my show. Bloody buffoon. Extract your spark.
Oh,
you
God.
Wouldn't dare. I'll put him in the smelting pool.
Mm-hmm. With Waspinator.
Waspinator does not want crazy clown with him. I haven't done that one
in a while. I have to say, like, I know the last episode we did was back in October of last year, the last decade, whatever you want to call it, and we talked about the Enjoy the Tunes, Enjoy the Ride Records soundtrack thing. I have to say, though, since then, even with everything that's been going on with Karen and I moving from Chicago to Washington State and everything else, there, other than the comics and trying to keep up with that, there really isn't anything in Transformers that...
No, I agree.
I don't want to say I'm over it or anything like that. I don't want to say I'm, oh my God, I'm leaving the fandom. I'm not. I'm always going to be a fan.
What you're saying is there's not much to talk about.
No, not really. I'm sure there's plenty to talk about.
Well, I'm saying as far as the news-wise, there's very
much. Yeah, I mean,
if it's not comic-related, you're getting a bunch of toy news of, oh, there's this prototype. Oh, there's this figure that's coming out. Oh, this is the new price. Oh, a new reissue. The only other thing going on is Cyberverse.
Yeah, and prices, don't get me started. Today's prices are just horrible. Well,
it's funny because you can go to the store, and they have these little cheap, cheap, cheap stinking robots that they want $9 for. That would have been a $3.99 figure back in the day, and they're only 3 inches tall. And it kills me because the next stage up, the ones that would have been the basic figures, are $16.99. The ones that were deluxe are now $20.
Yeah.
And the ones that were mega, they're $30. And the ones that were ultra are 60. So it's like, it's like, where do you get off? Like, I understand prices go up because of not only inflation, but oil prices and, you know, all that stuff. But it seems like a lot of instances, like, the quality has gone to crap too, unless you're getting a masterpiece, which are insanely outpriced because getting the original MP01 Optimus Prime when it came out was $60.
Mm-hmm.
Not one since that time has come out for that price point. They jumped to $120, and then you go to Beast Wars Megatron, and he's like $320 for this figure that, honestly, like, I would love to have it, but for $320, I could buy, like, I could buy multiple monitors for my computer, I could buy a streaming setup, like, there's a lot I could do with $300.
Exactly. And while I would... if I was still collecting stuff other than Funko, if I was still like, cause you know how Facebook is. Facebook's like, hey, here's your 50 memories of the day or whatever. And you go back and you look over the last 10 years or whatever else. Lately, I've seen some of my old toy collection photo things pop up and I'm like, oh yeah, that was circa 2008 to 2011 because I had sold the collection off by 2011, by the end of 2011. And at this point, if I was still in the actual action figure collecting game, I would rather save my money and get masterpieces than anything else. I think the cheapest, I don't want to say cheapest, but the less expensive, the least expensive masterpiece toy I had seen, and I was like 3 months away from having it, of having the money to get it. This was a couple of years ago. I was going to get you the Cheetor for your birthday, and I just didn't end up. Stuff happens, you know. Shit happens. Whatever. But like Cheetor on Big Bad Toy Store at the time was like under $80. Mm-hmm. It was like $74.99. That was the least expensive masterpiece figure I've seen. And I understand their masterpiece. It is the gold standard of Transformers at this point. And I just like everybody else, will balk at a $349 price point, but I understand why. Because of the size, because of the show accuracy, because of everything that they put into those things, I think that's a good investment. A deluxe figure at $16.99 or a Voyager figure at $20.99 or a leader class or whatever Hasbro's doing with the class. Like, the last time I looked at Hasbro Transformers action figures, there was Voyager, it was deluxe, Voyager, and leader. Those were the three classes I remember. Deluxes were like the 3-inch, 5-inch, whatever it is, and then Voyager were a little taller, and then leader classes were the tallest of the three at the time, until they introduced Ultra, I guess. And it's just crazy. I'm nowadays paying, like you said, for what they're doing with them. And don't get me wrong, anyone that is a toy designer at Hasbro, they're doing good work. The problem is the work and where Hasbro is putting the focus. And again, it's a kid's thing. It's not really made. That's why Masterpiece should be for us and all of that. But it just, it's crazy, these prices.
Yeah, I mean, I want to support things that I enjoy, the pricing of a lot of it is just redonkulous anymore. And it makes it difficult, because I liked collecting certain things. Like, I still have my Masterpiece Optimus Primal, but you're talking, mm-hmm. It was $130, and I traded in like 8 figures to even put down the first $100 and pay the other 30 out of my pocket, right, just to get exactly. that figure. And granted, the figures I got rid of, like, I got rid of Optimal Optimus, I got rid of a lot of other figures. The thing was with them is, they're not show accurate. And that was, right. And as much as I loved a lot of those toys, they weren't show accurate. And if they're not show accurate to me anymore, like, I just don't see the point in them, because I want that accurate representation. Like, if I could get a Beast Wars Megatron, whether in his Transmetal form or his Dragon form, and, right. you know, say for like $150, $160, then great. Yeah, I mean, I'd be all for it. But all of them can incrementally get more expensive. And yeah. it's almost to the point that, unless you're like this super fan that has, you know, disposable income, kind of like the whole Unicron debacle, like, mm-hmm. you really can't afford them, and they've priced them out. And if you can't afford something, it's the garbage that they sell in the store anyway.
Yeah. I'm not going down the political road, but I'm just going to say this. You have to be somebody like Donald Trump to have the excess of money to buy all of the Masterpiece stuff that you may want, all the characters you love, all the whatever. You have to have ass loads of disposable income.
Well, the other thing,
just don't.
Well, the thing is if I was single, mm-hmm. and making the kind of money I am, you know, now or even before, I could afford them.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's only one mouth to feed, and I wouldn't need as much house, or I wouldn't need as much of really anything.
Right, but you've grown up, you've been married, but you've grown up. You and Mary were in your relationship. You eventually got married. You decided to have children, and at this point, you buy them the $16 pieces of crap.
Well, I don't even buy them the pieces of crap, because like even if I let them have stuff like that, the stuff is so cheaply built. Like, when we did start experimenting with that stuff, with the Transformers and everything, and letting them have them, the thing was, is the blasted limbs popped off all the time, or they'd get stuck in a mode, or they didn't want to transform all the way, even when they were the easy things. And so, like, the kids were constantly coming after me to fix them. And I'm like, these are supposed to be for kids, like... It was ridiculous. Like, even the stuff that I had as a kid, half of it wasn't really built for kids. It was built for collectors, because you look at the Transmetal Megatron, if you didn't transform him just right, his whole, like, shoulder and arm would snap right off.
Yeah. Well, you know that old saying, diecast construction, it's a lost art.
Yep, and it's true, because
it really is.
Well, what's funny is I sold that Masterpiece MP01 Optimus Prime on eBay for almost triple of what I bought it for.
Wow.
And originally. And it's because, yeah. one, he's completely die-cast, other than the yep. few plastic parts that were on him. And two, like, he had rubber wheels. He had, you know, I mean, so it was, a lot of it was just, it was good quality figure. It's, and granted, I could have kept him, and I probably would have. But again, like, for me, like, Transformers was always Beast Wars. And so, like, it, I was, my first Beast Wars, and my, actually, my first Transformer was Optimus Primal. And right. so it's fitting that my final Transformer is Optimus Primal.
Optimus Primal.
But he's yeah. a masterpiece instead of the other one. And so...
Well, see, here's the thing. You were born in 1986. By the time Beast Wars came out, you were 10 years old, or about to be 10 years old. You know, and as a 10-year-old, you're going to gravitate towards those cartoons or whatever cartoons are on at the time. And in 1996... Beast Wars was the thing. G1 was over. Whereas but, me, I was born 6 years earlier than you were. I was, you know, born in 80. I was 5 years old when four and 5 years old and 6 years old when Transformers was on in 86 and the movie came out and whatever. So that's what I grew up with. So we are technically of two generations of Transformers, you know.
But the thing was, is I grew up with both around the same time as well, though, because and I say that because when we started watching Beast Wars, G1 was on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Right.
On their cartoon block. And so I watched both. And the thing was, is I couldn't get the toys.
Yeah, because again... And, it was, even though it was still in syndication, even though the show was still being shown, the toys were long gone at that point.
Well, and the thing was, is KB Toys actually had them one time when I was like 12.
Jeez.
And they had them, like an entire like aisle, and it was great. And I that particular day that my parents are like, we're going to the mall, and I'm like, okay. So I see it, and then I look, and I'm confused, and then I go... I forgot my wallet. And I asked him, I says, can you buy this for me? I have the money in my wallet at home. And they're like, no.
Oh.
And I was like, so the next weekend when I went to my dad's house, I asked him, I says, hey, can we go to KB Toys? I have my money. Can I buy this? And he's like, yeah, whatever. So we went up to KB Toys. All of them were gone.
Gone.
Literally every Transformer yep. figure was gone. And I was like, I had enough money to get Optimus Prime for $25. And he wasn't there. Yeah. It was, I was so, like, livid about that. So, like, my son, now, when he wants something at the store, and, like, for instance, if it's in the clearance aisle or something like that, and it's not a regular rotation thing.
He'll grab it.
I'm like, we'll buy it. You have to buy it off us to pay us back.
Yep.
But, you know... But we will buy it, you know, and so we did that for something for him this weekend. For it was a clearance item for $10, and he's like, mm-hmm. I have $10 at home.
mm-hmm.
And so we're like, okay. So he paid it at home, and then, you know, so it was the whole process of, you know, just, I don't know. I told him, I says, I'm not going to do to you what happened to me, you know, over something stupid. Like, you have the money that you've saved. If this yeah. is what you want, then yay.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. When I was a kid, at one point, my mom tried to do this token system with me for behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you do the dishes, or if you take the trash out, or if you clean your room, whatever the difficulty of the task is, you either get a white, blue, or red token. White tokens were worth $1, blue tokens were worth $5, red tokens were worth $10. So by the end of the week, if I had X number of tokens, we'd go to the toy store and whatever, you know, I would say, oh, here, you know, I would say to her, here's my tokens. This is what I want. The one thing I noticed about the toy stores, and you just mentioned it, regular rotation. Rotation sucks. I understand because either people buy them and then they have to restock or they don't restock the same things. I never went to a Toys R Us, a Child World, a KB Toy, any toy store you can think of. I never went to one of them and they had the same stuff each time. If I went into Toys R Us and they had 2 Optimus Primes, 4 Megatrons, and 7 Soundwaves, the next day or the next week, they would have two Cyclonus or two Hot Rod. Or, and I'm just pulling those names out of my ass here. I'm not saying that's what it was. I'm just saying, like, the same figures were never there every time we would end up going back. So if you didn't get it at the time that it was there, you're SOL.
Oh, yeah. I understand that completely. And then the other thing is like, it's crazy, and this isn't just Transformers, but every toy has literally gone up.
Oh, yeah.
Because looking at Legos, they used to be able to get, like, a huge bucket for, like, yep. 20, 25 bucks. Yeah, you can't even get the same size bucket anymore for 20 bucks. Like, you can even get it for 60. Like, they don't even sell them. They make you buy them in these little tiny things now, or they're all themed with, like, some TV series.
Star Wars and whatever,
like,
yeah.
It's like, what if you just want to build bricks? You know, I mean, they do sell them, and then they put them in these cheap cardboard containers instead of the plastic ones you could actually sit on. I don't know. It's crazy to me, like, how much the stuff's gone up. Like, I buy stuff, we use Facebook Marketplace, because that's right. What my wife finds everything on sale for. Right. And, you know, I got a $2,000 desk for $250. Like, it's...
There you go.
Again, it's that type of thing. Like, she bought an entire laundry basket full of Lego stuff that was built, and we tore it all apart and put them in the boys' Lego thing, and boom, they have a ton of Legos.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, you know, even though we're talking more general toys than just specifically Transformers at this point, I have to say, there is one decade, maybe two, maybe three, between the 70s and the 90s, that was the booming, that era, those three decades were the boom for toys. For quality, for what you could get for the money. Like, I remember going to this place, I think it was called Benny's, I don't know. It was like a, I'm trying to think what I could equate it to today. It was kind of like a Big Lots, but it was not Big Lots kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
On opening week, on premiere week of TMNT, when the toy line dropped, I got Leo, Mikey, Donnie, Raph, and Splinter all for $5 each at this store. You can't get a Turtles figure for $5 now. And I know, like, they just announced, because Toy Fair is coming up, they just announced the TMNT Turtles in Time figures. I get it. They're bigger figures. They're not the same figures as they were 30, 40 years ago. I understand that. And God knows what the price is going to be on them, because I'm not looking at it right off the top of my head. But I'm glad that there are toy companies like NECA out there doing that, because that's our market. That's the collector market.
Oh, yeah, and totally.
Toy collectors will always be toy collectors, whether you want the originals from the 80s and 90s or whether you want these new, you know, fully articulated whatever versions of them.
Although now they've got a lot of bricks of a lot of series, too. Like, they've got things that don't move, and then they're like, oh, and they're pulling, like, that late 80s, early 90s gimmick that essentially just created a bunch of garbage figures that nobody wanted. Mm-hmm. Shelf warmers.
Yep.
Shelf warmers, there's nothing here to see.
They're less than meets the eye.
They're exactly what you see.
And that was kind of the thing, you know, at the beginning of the last decade, at the end of the previous decade to the last end of 2009, beginning of 2010, when I had my big all, and I can tie this into Transformers because there were Transformers figures of these things. When I was into the Mighty Mugs, and I know you didn't understand this then, and I know you still don't understand it now, but I, at that point in my life, I was 29 going on 30. I did not need a transforming toy to have the character that I wanted. I could get the Optimus Prime. I could get the Shockwave. I could get the Megatron. And they were cool little PVC figures. Fast forward 10 years later, and now instead of Mighty Mugs, it's Funko. Granted, Funko only actually has one Transformers figure. It's one of the movie Bumblebees, which kind of sucks, but it is what it is. And toy collecting will always be toy collecting, whether you're doing it with your kids, whether you're doing it for yourself. We'll always have what we grew up with, whether we have the actual toys or not, but we can have the memory of saying, hey, I played with this until it broke. Not that I broke it, but I played with it so much that it eventually wore out. I have a picture of myself. I think I was 9 or 10. I have this giant toy box. I have Castle Grayskull. I have like 2 or 3 He-Man figures. I have a James Bond figure. I have 2 mass cars. I have a couple of Transformers around there. I don't remember which ones they were. But I had this whole play area set up with the Castle Grayskull as like the base of operations and the mask Boulder Hill, the mask playset was also there. And, you know, I could make up all these adventures. And I just feel like toys today for kids. Here's an iPad. Go play a game. Go watch something. Or like, I don't know. It just doesn't. It's never going to be the same, but it just feels like we had the golden age of toys.
Oh yeah, for sure. So I mean, it's just crazy now because like it's, yeah. I mean, you don't even know where the toy industry is going.
No clue.
But yeah, I mean, getting back into Transformers though, there's literally nothing that's happened other than like the toys, Cyberverse. You know, you've had like David Kay doing his annual Christmas video as Megatron,
or Gary Chalk, because Gary Chalk does one too.
Yep, he does one too. He did like Here Comes Megatron.
Yep.
With lyrics by Candace and himself. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's funny either way. Listening to him, and then of course TFCon taking over everything.
Hey, if it's the only thing out there, and if Hasbro isn't going to do anything...
Oh, Hasbro like, sucks on their conventions. Like, I will point blank admit that.
All as I'm saying is, and I, you know, we haven't talked to Daniel, Protoman Daniel, in a while, but, and I know they're fine doing their own thing, and so far as I know, Hasbro is fine with them doing their own thing. I wish that Hasbro would just say...
That's the official.
TFCon is... TFCon is the official, like, you know, without having to, you know, take over too much of it, just let them. They've been doing stuff successfully to this. They've had it in Canada.
Well, they've taken over all the ones around the U.S. that were failing.
Yep.
And gotten their locations and everything else. So, like, that brand is doing very well.
Yes.
The other thing, too, is, I don't know if you saw this, Flint Dilly came out with a book on Amazon.
Oh, his book's out now?
Yeah. It's listed on Amazon. The Games Master, My Life in the 80s Geek Culture Trenches.
Yep.
Yep. It says you can pre-order it, looks like. It's on Amazon. It comes out June 22nd.
Oh, okay, cool.
But yeah, so like you get to hear, you know, obviously like Transformers, G.I. Joe, and Humanoids, Visionaries. You know, it's a 312-page hardcover book, and with everything that he's ever done, pretty much. With great info and stories from the original Transformers cartoon and much more. It's a narrative memoir chronicling the life and career. But, yeah, I mean, that's pretty awesome, actually. So, might be something for people to look into and pick up, because he's been a huge chunk of pop culture history.
Yes, yes, he has.
The other thing is Hasbro completed some acquisition, I guess. They bought out Entertainment One, which I wasn't even aware that this was something, but it's the new company dubbed as One Hasbro will produce entertainment content based on Hasbro properties such as Transformers, Power Rangers, G.I. Joe, My Little Pony, and more.
God, I forgot Hasbro has Power Rangers now.
Yeah, which could be a good thing.
It can't be
any worse than Disney. Disney screws like some of those series. Just look at the Star Wars movies. Oh, I had to go there. I'm so sorry. Like the streaming, like Mandalorian's, you know, good, but like you get to the other stuff. Like, say what you will. Like, I enjoyed the final movie of that. Not to jump on the Star Wars bandwagon for what it was, but that entire trilogy was a mess.
Yeah, it was.
So, Transformers and Power Rangers.
Yeah, I mean, so right now, currently, IDW is doing a Power Rangers Turtles crossover comic series. I haven't read it yet, but I'm very optimistic about it because I like the Boom Studios Power Rangers comic, and I like what, obviously, I mean, Joe and I have been covering Turtles from IDW since, I think, 2014, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's kind of cool. I think you might have seen this because I know I posted it to Geekcast Radio's Facebook page and the pullback and everything else. I think later this year, IDW is going to be doing a Transformers versus Terminator,
yes,
series.
Yep.
So that like just like we did with the Transformers versus Star Trek, we'll have to cover that at some point. Yeah, I mean it's. It's just so interesting, the comic landscape. Now, I have not read the new universe yet. The only thing I've read is the Transformers Galaxy book, the Constructicons Rising, the first three issues, because the fourth issue isn't out yet. But I haven't actually read the main ongoing yet. I want to, because obviously Ryan and I finished up the previous universe's coverage on the pullbag last year, or whenever it was that we finished it. But I'm interested in the new universe. I want to check it out. I want to give it a fair shake. I will say that I have been talking with Tyler. Oh God, I hope I don't mess his name up. Blazinski. Yeah. He's the dude writing, the first four issues of Transformers Galaxies. Here's the interesting thing. Galaxies is set up as what the old Spotlights were. So it's an ongoing series, but there are going to be different arcs to it with different writers and art teams. So various people can put their stamp on it. So the first four issues are the Constructicons Rising story that's done by Tyler and Livio Ramondelli on art. The next one is by somebody else and another artist, and it'll focus on other characters. So I absolutely love how IDW brought the spotlights back without really bringing the spotlights back. They actually have an ongoing series that allows creators to tell stories with the characters that they want to tell stories with. And it all does tie into the current ongoing at some point as well. Somehow. I don't know how, because obviously I haven't read the main ongoing yet, but it's an interesting time to be a Transformers comic fan.
Oh, yeah, totally. So, yeah, I mean, it's... on a whole, like, there's... Again, like I said, not much other than the comics.
Yeah. And if we're not interested, and people should know this by now, if you've been listening to All Things Transformers since 2008, you should know, if Steve and I, or if it's just Steve, you know, if we're not interested in a topic, why are we going to bring it up?
Well, why are we going to waste the time to record an episode? Oh, there's toys this week, so that's kiss butt to all these companies and blah blah blah. Like why are we wasting everyone's time? Like nobody. Yeah. I mean, yes, there are people that care about the toys. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you don't listen to the show to know about the news on the toys. Like you listen to the show because you want to hear us complain or you want to hear us like have a commentary on something. Yep. But, you know, realistically, I think Transformers, I think it has a lot of life still in it. I think they just need to re-engineer how they're doing things and stop making a bunch of the plastic crack that, you know, nobody cares about, in a
sense.
What
they need to do is go back. I know it's going to cost more, but it would justify the higher prices. What they need to do is they need to go back to die-cast construction.
It's a lost art.
I know. That's the sad thing about it.
Unfortunately, they'll never do so.
Sadly. No. But yeah, I mean, this year, even though I'm on this episode now, I currently don't have my computer. It's in storage. We foolishly did not put it in the car because the car was getting transported, and they're like, don't put too much in your car if you can help it. And so my computer's in storage, and I'm currently transported. Not... I wish I had a transporter. Beam me up, Scotty.
Instant transmission. You know, if you say that to Google, if you say, okay, Google, beam me up, Scotty, it'll say energizing, and then it'll play the sound effect, and then it'll, at the end it'll go, did it work?
That's cool. So I'm currently on a podcasting hiatus, and it's literally killing me. The cool thing is, the new apartment that we just got,
it's soundproof.
Well, a little bit, yes. You might be able to hear the train every now and then, or a plane. But the living room, I'm going to eventually mount my TV on the wall, and my desk is going to go right under that wall. So I'm going to say this right now. We're going to end up doing some commentaries again, because I can have the TV on low volume and record everything through the computer without having to have the movie audio or whatever audio coming out of the computer as well, because it'll be on the TV separate from my computer. So commentaries are coming back to ATTF and GCRN and all that stuff at some point. I want to get back to doing ATTF Origins episodes. I've got about 5 or 6 people, not really lined up because they don't really know yet, but I've got people in mind that I can have more episodes of that. I just started listening to Married with Comics Presents the Rod Pod. This is John and Maggie. They are a married couple, and they talk about comics. They're in the midst of going through all of the IDW stuff, which is what I've already done. So it's interesting to hear their opinions on stuff that I've already covered. And I've talked to them about being on the show at some point and yada, yada, yada. And John just messaged me earlier today saying, oh, if you want to be on the Rod Pod sometime, just let us know. I said, just let me know what I need to know. Let me know what issue you guys are covering so I can go back and refresh my memory. So very cool to connect with them. Everybody go listen to Married with Comics. You can find them on Spotify and all that other stuff. You want to do more character spotlights. Now, how do you want to do this?
I'm not entirely sure.
Okay.
But, yeah. I don't want to do, like, a Chris McFeely deep dive.
That was my... when you mentioned that to me off air, I was like,
yeah, I don't want to tread on somebody else's territory. That's
right,
that's
exactly.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
There'll be a way.
Yeah, we'll find a way. And then, of course, and this is great because this is the first time we've been able to even say anything about this. Coming soon, the top 100 Transformers.
Excellent. Yes.
We have plans, and you guys will know about it as soon as we get it all sorted out.
Yeah, that'll be something I work on after I move.
Yeah, well, obviously. Yeah.
But, yeah, the general concept is there, though.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, I mean, we at the GCRN, and we've done animated series, animated films, video games, TV shows, wrestlers, a bunch of other stuff. So it's time to do Transformers.
Romance in the Skies.
That's right. Anything else?
I'm trying to think. I don't think so.
I honestly don't know.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else off the top of my head. If I had the IDW solicits pulled up, I could go through those, but that's all right. We already talked about the comics. Just go read them, folks. They're really good.
They are here, they are waiting.
Mm-hmm. Or they are there and they are waiting.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
until next time, transform and roll out.
That's not your line.
But it should be.
You're not a truck, you're a monkey.
I'm no monkey. I'm a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Oh, boy.
Yes.